This morning's Old Testament reading is Psalm 8, and it's on page 546. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is taken from Mark, at chapter 4, and I will read from verse 26 to 32. That's Mark chapter 4, found on page 1006. The parable of the growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. The parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you can plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. So today is the second of three sessions we're having on worship. This week we're going to focus, not surprisingly, on creation and how God has created each of us for worship, worship in its broadest sense. Our first reading by Russ this morning was one of the psalms written by David, Psalm 8. And in this psalm, David praises God for all that God has created in the world and how God crowns his people with a responsibility for looking after everything that God has made. This is not going to be an ecological sermon on how to look after the environment and the planet, though, but much more about how wonderfully we are each made and how we are created and how we are created to worship God with our whole lives. When we bring to mind the wonders of God's creation, it's no surprise that David starts and ends the psalm with, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David wonders about the great handiwork of God's creation, the moon and the stars which God has set in their places, and marvels that we have been made and we have been given dominion over the entire creation. to remind us about how awesome God's creation is and our significant place in it, we're going to look at the first part of a short video about God's amazing and incredible world. It's called The Cosmic Eye. Jessica found this and showed it at a school's event in Bromley, and apparently the children were entranced. So we'll watch the first part of the video now. If those of you who don't like zooming in and out on things, just listen to the music and glance up occasionally, because it does move quite fast, but it just shows how incredible our universe is. And everything in creation is special to God, and each one of us is special to God. And how incredible it is that humankind was created and crowned to look after God's creation and to be part of God's growing kingdom on earth. Caring for God's universe is glorifying God and worshipping God. Some of you know, or probably quite a lot of you know, that I love the outdoors and spending time in the countryside. It is wonderful to spend time on a nice, clear day like today, at night time, looking up and looking at the wonders of the stars. Perhaps when David was scanning the sky, he felt insignificant and wondered why such a magnificent creator would care so much about mankind and each one of us. It's interesting that in the psalm, the Hebrew for man in verse 4 is actually the term Enos, which is subtly different from the term Adam, which is more often used in the Bible to refer to mankind in the more general terms. Enos refers to the individual person. So that's how special we are. It's about the individuals that David is referring to. And our weak, mortal selves, who is being referred to, is given the responsibility of looking after God's creation. God has shown his care to each one of us in so many ways. He first created our parents. Am I still on? Yeah. But only after he had created a world that was ready for them. The sun and the moon and the stars provided light for them. The plants were a food source. The climate was ideal for sustaining life. And Adam and Eve enjoyed their life together in paradise. But us weak and mortal man destroyed the connection between God and man through sin. But we can rejoice in the knowledge that our relationship with God is restored through Jesus' sacrificial death. God provided a suitable environment for humans, and God showed his love and care for us weak, mortal humans by giving his Son as our Redeemer and Saviour. Let us return to the creativity of God and the way in which God has created each one of us and knows us each intimately. David draws this out in another of his psalms, Psalm 139. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. To help us appreciate quite how wonderfully we are made, we will now watch the second part of the universe video, where we will start with the vastness of the universe and look at ourselves with microscopic detail. We are so intricately made, and God knows everything about us. God's knowledge of us is so deep, it is beyond our understanding. This David in Psalm 139 again. God's creation is amazing, and we are created to worship him. Not just worship in our church services and our prayers and our songs of worship, but in our daily lives. God's desire is that with willing hearts, the power of the Holy Spirit will continue caring and tendering his whole nation and creating and growing his kingdom on earth. A few weeks ago, my talk was focused on a few parables Jesus told about the kingdom of God in Matthew's gospel. This morning, we heard two parables written in St. Mark's gospel. Again, the parable of the mustard seed, which we heard last time. And also the parable of the growing seed, which is only accounted for in Mark's gospel. Let us consider these two parables about growth and flourishing of a tiny seed as part of God's creation, and what we can understand Jesus is trying to tell us. In the parable of the growing seed, one of the main things to consider is the relationship between the power and riches of the soil and the toil of the farmers. Whatever the farmer does, whether they are a soil waste, the seed sprouts and grows. This draws out the beauty of God's creation and creativity, the intrinsic relationship between God's natural world and man's intervention. We can note here that God is at work even when we're asleep. God is at work 24/7. Within the seed, there is an inner force changing it first into grass, then a stalk, and finally wheat. When the people hearing the parable for the first time, they would have been perfectly aware of this process as it was part of their normal everyday life. So Jesus used this familiarity to describe the kingdom of God. Within the wheat, and with the wheat, you can make bread. Daily food essential for human life. Jesus uses the seed of life, the grain, to communicate an essential element about the kingdom of God. It is a gift. God is the main farmer, and we are his helping hands, his assistants, if you like. God is the creator. We are his people. Through him, and through us, he can create wonderful things as we worship him with the whole of our lives. So it's really important we appreciate it is God who creates and takes the initiative. Our part is looking to him, having a relationship with him through prayer, serving him as part of our worshipful lives, and then along with God, we can rejoice when the coming of harvest comes. But we can also remember that while celebrating the rich fruits of his work, there is also the time of the Lord's judgment. On that day, all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Being part of building God's kingdom is taking the message of love to everyone and how he wants us to love one another as he loves us, which Ian talked about last week. God wants us to strive for freedom for all, for freedom from evil and sinful oppression. He wants us to invite the power of God to work in our lives, to share, so we can share and influence, encourage others to know God more deeply. As we acknowledge and embrace God's hand and mastery in creation throughout all time and history. And in the parable of the mustard seed, which I mentioned a few weeks ago, it refers to the small seeds or beginnings that God has planted for us to nurture in his kingdom on earth. We may not be aware of these seeds, as we may not recognize them, or they may appear insignificant. Yet in time, these seeds have the potential to grow into huge trees, not only producing richness of glorious fruit from its branches, but also providing protection, a nesting place where birds of the air can make their nests and seek protection from the shade. And don't we need that shade with weather like we're having at the moment? Jesus told these parables to help us understand what being part of the kingdom of God is like. Those initial beginnings planted by our Creator God to be nurtured and developed through God-inspired, willing human hearts and minds. When I spoke about this parable last time, I suggested we think and pray about the situations and ideas or initiatives we may have or know where there might be an initial seed that God may have planted. I wonder if anyone has been more acutely aware of these things for us to consider or perhaps reconsider at the beginning of this new season and term. When you do recognize or are aware of these seeds created by God, look to God for help and encouragement to help it grow and share it with others, especially if you think there are ideas or actions that God is asking us to be involved in our church lives here together. I'm sure that I'm not the only one who sometimes feel overwhelmed by the things and possibilities that could, should, need to be started, initiated, or done. I was reminded in a church magazine I read last week of the importance of focusing on one grain of sand at a time. I thought I would share an excerpt of this thing about a grain of sand at a time that I read in my Somerset Church local link. This autumn, do you feel overwhelmed with all the things that you think you need to get done? Then think of your life as an hourglass. There are thousands of grains in the top of the hourglass, and they all pass slowly and evenly through the narrow neck in the middle. We are like that hourglass. When we start in the morning, there are hundreds of tasks we feel we must accomplish that day. But if we do not take them one at a time and let them pass through the day slowly and evenly, as do the grains of sand passing through the narrow neck of the hourglass, then we are bound to break our fragile physical and mental structure. Therefore, as we strive to do God's will, we must not attempt to do more than God created and designed each of us to do. I find this reading really helpful and really useful when considering what to do and when. So in conclusion, what does all this mean for our worship? Let us hold on to the awesome knowledge that God is creator of the universe, and may we worship his greatness, power, and authority over all. May we pray to the God who created each one of us uniquely to empower us with the Holy Spirit so that we can worship and glorify God with the whole of our lives, nurturing the seeds he has planted, one seed at a time, one grain at a time. And let us look to our God of creation for the power and inspiration in all we do, knowing that as we submit and surrender to God with our whole lives, that our mortal weaknesses can be forgiven by our restored by our Saviour and Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ.